thanks everyone for coming to our presentation. I know it's a tough spot being right at lunchtime, and so I appreciate you all being here. As she mentioned, I'm from Maine, and I'm sorry also, I need to apologize. I think I brought some of our weather with me. I couldn't believe how cold it's been. I'm like, oh my gosh. So hopefully it'll start warming up. So I'll be leaving soon, so just so you know, so it'll start warming up. So I'm going to tell you a little bit about a program that we've been doing for several years, and it's, we call it TDS. It stands for Telephonic Diabetes Education and Support, which is kind of a mouthful, so TDS is a little bit easier to say. I had a physician once tell me when we were going through a presentation, he said, unfortunately, I don't have anything to disclose, and I thought, that's so good to say that. It's true. I have nothing to disclose, so... So years ago, when you think of the telephone, you know, it was a brand new invention, and people used to call each other up and sort of talk about their day and, you know, see how things were. And so it was, you know, just kind of a novelty at that time. And then we went into this explosion of technology, right? So now people barely talk. You know, everyone texts or emails, or so we don't even have those personal connections anymore. Well, you know, with the TDS program, we kind of went back. We're using the phone, and there's a couple reasons we do that. In Maine, we're very rural, and there's lots of folks that don't have internet access, or if they do, it's a little sketchy. Even at where I live outside of a sort of a city area, Lewiston, Auburn, and I live in a small community, and I can't use my cell phone, so I still, believe it or not, have a house phone as well as my cell phone because I just don't get great reception. So something that we have talked about and looking at is using like sort of a video kind of conferencing for this kind of model. But in our area, it doesn't really work at this point, but that's something you may want to consider. So TDS actually originated from a HRSA grant back in 2005. It was a pilot, and at that time I was actually a certified diabetes educator working at one of the larger healthcare organizations in Maine, and I was the coordinator of the program for diabetes education. And so I thought, okay, well, we're one of the larger organizations, so we'll play, you know, we'll pilot this and kind of see how it goes. But I really, honestly, I have to tell you, right from the beginning, was quite skeptical because we'd always had diabetes education in person, whether it was individual or group, and I thought, well, we'll be part of this pilot, but this is never going to work, but we'll be part of the pilot and just see. And I have to tell you, doing the pilot for a year that we did, I was really astonished at some of the things that we found with the pilot. And now all these years later, I'm actually working at the organization that coordinates this program, so I now manage this telephonic program. So it's kind of funny how life kind of comes full circle sometimes. So that's where we are right now. So it was piloted in 2005. It's been operating really since then. This program is through employer contracts. So we actually contract with employers. One of our larger employers is the state of Maine for all of their employees throughout the state. We also have like a Maine Municipal, which is like your town folks, you know, like the road crew and the people that work in your town office and those kind of folks. They're all big employers that we have that we offer this benefit to. This program is also voluntary. So obviously we're targeting people who have either diabetes or the type 1 or type 2 or are pre-diabetic, but it's voluntary for them to enroll. So nobody's saying that they have to. It's not, you know, with some of the way things are sometimes now with insurances now, they're trying to encourage people to do this, which is great, but it's not, they're not being made to enroll in this program, I guess is how I could say this. Provider referred, what that means is that if someone expresses an interest in, yes, I would like to, my employer contracts with you for this program and I would like to enroll, we do get their consent to share this information with their own primary care provider because we want their primary care provider to know that they're enrolling in this education program. That's one reason. The second reason is because we also want to get some information from the primary care provider. We want to let them know about our program, but we also want to get some of their baseline data. You know, have they had a cholesterol done? Have they had a kidney functioning, you know, test done? What was their last hemoglobin A1C level for their blood sugar control? So we want to get those elements as well. So we collect that information. And it's really diabetes education, but using the phone, like I said, and I'll explain that a little bit further. And we use existing diabetes educators. We actually contract with, let me go back, we contract with several diabetes educators throughout the state, and you'll see that in a few minutes, the map of who we contract with. So our goals are to increase access and utilization of diabetes education, and ultimately to improve their health, right, and how they can manage their health long term. Offer a program that overcomes many of the reported barriers to diabetes self-management education. And that's not really true to just diabetes. We know that for many folks, when they're dealing with a chronic condition, whether it's heart disease or diabetes or kidney disease, anything else, sometimes it's difficult to get the education they need and the support. Years ago, the Maine CDC, and that's sort of how this pilot kind of came about as well, the Maine CDC did a study to find out what are some of the barriers for people going to classes. And at that time, for diabetes education, we really had one main structure. And it was, you know, you'd meet with a diabetes educator, but then you'd attend these group classes, and they were sort of prescribed on the content and the amount of time, that sort of thing. But we noticed that over time, we were having less and less folks that would attend these group classes. So what were the reasons? And the reasons were that lots of people didn't feel comfortable in a group class. You know, there's a lot of benefit to group classes where you can learn from each other, but not everyone is cut out to be in a group class. Some people really don't feel comfortable. They don't want to speak up in a group. They don't want to share information about themselves in a group. So that's not maybe the right setting for them. Some people felt like, you know, yeah, I have diabetes, but so did my mom, and so doesn't my brother, and you know, so everyone I know has diabetes. I know how to manage it. I don't think I need diabetes education. And then there, you know, others looking at the class dates, times, not convenient. Some people, as I mentioned in Maine, we're very rural. So some people have issues with transportation. We don't have a lot of public transportation, particularly in outside of the sort of city areas. So people weren't able to always get to these classes. And others said, well, geez, I don't even know what that program is. So, you know, they just really weren't, didn't know if it would be something that would be right for them. So the key points of this program is the initial program is a year-long program. And we actually contract with 25 hospital-based diabetes programs across the state. And these are all ADA, American Diabetes Association, or American Association of Diabetes Educators, recognized diabetes sites. So they're able to get reimbursed, that sort of thing, because they've met that level of standard of care for diabetes. They provide personal one-to-one contact. The first visit with the participant is in person, and then they meet with the participant to kind of go over the program, explain how it's going to work, give them the materials, because you actually have a manual that we give to the participants that goes over all the content areas, and we have 10 content areas that are part of that, and it's written in low-level literacy, so it's easy, lots of pictures, so it's easy for anybody to be able to read and go through, and then the educator will actually do telephone follow-ups with these folks every month, just like an appointment. You would schedule it just like an appointment time, and they already predetermine what section they want to go over. So this education is all driven by the participant. So you don't have to go in, like one of the first chapters is, what is diabetes? So it kind of goes through sort of the whole thing of diabetes. Another chapter is, medications, you know, but the person may say, you know, I really am trying to focus on exercise, and so physical activity, that chapter, is really where I want to start, because I think I kind of know what is diabetes, and we can kind of review that in the future, but I really want to jump start on this physical activity chapter and get started with that. So we can go to, they customize it, they drive it according to what's most important to them. We ask them to review it ahead of time so that when the educator calls, they're not really going through line by line of the information with them. They're highlighting what's in the what's in that section, but really honing in on individualized conversation with the participant about their either lifestyle habits or meal planning or diabetes management, whatever that topic seems to be, or medications. So the first program is 12 months typically in length. First visits in person, every other contact every month is telephonic, except we do try to have them come in for the last visit as well, which is called the post-assessment, because at that time it's sort of the wrap-up, so we try to get them to come in then as well. It's voluntary, as I mentioned, and confidential. This program is really targeted to adults. So it's not a pediatric program. We know that pediatrics and diabetes is quite different. So this is targeted for those that are 18 years of age or older. And again, it's the folks that are part of, when we work with the employer group, it's the folks that are on that insurance. So it could be the state of Maine employee's wife, husband, or adult child that's still on their program who has either diabetes or prediabetes. These are our sites around Maine, and we have 37 hospitals in Maine, so we have 25 that we contract with to provide the diabetes education. You can kind of see how they're dispersed, and you can see sort of in the northern region and eastern region, there's not, but we don't have a lot of hospitals really there either, so it's kind of the way it's dispersed. So the program highlights, obviously, geographic alignment, as you noticed. The whole goal is to try to get the educator aligned with wherever either that person works or their community where they live, so whichever they prefer. And the reason for that is long-term. So, again, thinking about sustainability, this isn't just a diabetes program. It's building a relationship. And I can tell you from when I was doing this program with participants, what I found is that we would go through these programs, and that was great. We got to know each other really well. Then maybe a few years down the road, they would call me, like maybe because something changed in their diabetes, and now they have to go on insulin, or they wanted to go on an insulin pump, or, you know, something like that. And they already had that relationship with me. So they could call me. They trusted me. We worked together, of course, with the physician, but we worked together to help them manage their diabetes. So this program and this model could really be applied to any program or any model that you're thinking about doing. It doesn't have to be diabetes. The whole point of this is that it has to be that relationship piece, right? I mean, everybody wants to feel like someone cares about them and that they know them and, you know, they're invested in them. And I think that's what kind of makes this a little different than someone just cold calling, you know, like from the insurance, you know, they have nurses that will work for the insurance companies and they'll call and help you with your diabetes or your blood pressure or whatever. But there's no relationship there. And I think that's what makes this a little different. So the geographic alignment's important. Evidence-based interventions and evaluations, because it's all based on the American Diabetes Association and the American Association of Diabetes Educators curriculum, their core content. We do an analysis, and I'll get into that in a minute. Participant incentives. So, yes, there are incentives, and I can tell you probably 99% of the people will, and they've told me right up front, well, you know, Tina, when I first signed up for this program, I signed up because I was going to get my medications copays waived. So for their diabetes medications and their supplies, like their test strips and their Lancets, they get those copays waived as being part of this program. So 99% of the people will say that's you know, the reason that they originally signed up. But then after they're going through the program, they're much more engaged, and then they'll say to me, you know, that's I really signed up because of that, but I actually learned a lot of stuff. I'm like, that's great. That's sort of the point of this. So it is the carrot that kind of gets them to join. And then reimbursement, because this is employer-driven, there is a reimbursement code, so the diabetes sites do get paid for their contacts with the, whether it's telephonic or in-person, with these participants. So TDS alone was very successful through the years, and so there was a further development. So there's a TDS with cardiovascular disease. As many of you know, those that have diabetes many times have cardiovascular disease as well. So this curriculum just has more of a focus on high blood pressure, high cholesterol. We cover that with diabetes, but it just has even more information and sort of more of a focus with it. And then we have TDS, we call TDS to the second power, which is really this one is once they've already gone through the basic program of either TDS or TDS plus CBD, then they can go into the second power, which is really focused on supporting and reinforcing the information and the changes they've already made, but also goal setting and kind of making this, again, more sustainable long term. So I kind of covered that. The difference with the CBD one is you also get pharmacy copay waivers for the cardiovascular medications as well. So what makes it different? We actually get great participation rate, not only joining initially, but continuing through the program. It gets people to attend and to be there. The participant initiates the involvement because they're not automatically enrolled. They let us know that they're interested. They're volunteering for it. So again, they have that control and that ownership. So that's part of this as well, is that, you know, what is their accountability? I used to have folks, it was funny because we would say, okay, we're going to go over section, you know, medication section, the next phone call. And then when I call them, they'd say, oh my gosh, Tina, I feel bad. I went over the medication section a little bit, but I really didn't have much time to really, you know, go through it in depth. And I mean, it was like that accountability, and they felt bad to me that they hadn't gone over all this information. And I'm like, it's okay. We're going to kind of go through it anyway, and we're going to hone in on the medicines that are pertinent to them. But it was kind of good because you can see that, again, it's that relationship piece. You know, it's not just a random person calling them, and, you know, because they're invested as well. Local providers, locally delivered, local culture, local knowledge. How many times have you called somewhere? You know, we know this is kind of famous for, like, when the people are trying to get technical support with some kind of, device they have. And they might be talking to someone who is, like, really difficult for, you know, doesn't understand what their situation is or is really difficult to communicate with. And so, again, this is what this is about, is providing is local. So you kind of know your local community. You know your local folks. And it makes, you may know, you know, have people in common that you know. So, again, it's building those relationships. And the personal interaction, key, I think, having that first visit in person, because then they get to know, again, who you are. It's not just a random person calling me. So some of the challenges, making sure people know what's available, what's out there, and that they can see how this would benefit them. A lot of the conference here, since I've been here, I've heard people talking about data. We have to have data. We have to prove our worth in programs and what we're bringing, and it's all about the data. Well, we actually do collect a lot of data. We look at number of participants, we look at demographics, how many are male, how many are female, average age of folks, how many sessions did they complete, did they complete the whole thing or only part of it and then drop out. We look at clinical outcomes, we look at blood pressures, hemoglobin A1Cs, lipid profiles, HDLs, LDLs, triglycerides. Self-reported clinical follow-ups, we ask them at pre-assessment and post-assessment about, have you seen your primary care provider in the last year? Have you been to an eye doctor and had an eye exam? How many times have you been to the ER related to your diabetes in the last year? So we do that at pre-assessment and post-assessment, so again, we can kind of compare, did this make any impact? having this program. And self-efficacy, that's another one where we ask questions like, how comfortable do you feel in knowing carbohydrates and in meal planning and knowing the benefits of exercise? So we ask them as sort of a knowledge scale, you know, and how empowered they feel as well to be able to make changes. And so we ask that at pre and post, again, to measure. And then, of course, satisfaction with the program. So long-term benefits, again, this is all about self-management, right? Long-term. This isn't just for like a month. It's going to go away in a month. You know, they have diabetes. We need to have them be able to manage this long-term. With employee groups, we also look at productivity, and how we measure that is how many days have they missed of work because of diabetes-related illness. So, you know, we ask that again at the beginning and at the end of the program. Did this program help maybe to help them manage their diabetes better so that they're more productive at work, they're not missing as many days at work? And then obviously from the plan's perspective, you know, shifting costs so people aren't having a lot of complications from their diabetes. Healthy life, right? That's our goal. That's what everyone wants, quality of life. So some of our outcomes, we've shown marked improvements. 88% or more attend 10 to 12 sessions over the course of the year. 98 to 100% of participants report feeling satisfied or very satisfied with the program. And improved outcomes, we show like the A1Cs come down, blood pressure comes down. So, I mean, it varies depending on the employer group, and it also varies depending on the participant, because if you have a participant that's starting with a blood sugar way up here, they, you know, can come, they have more of a ways to come down and they can make bigger strides than somebody whose blood sugar is, you know, maybe just a little bit elevated at the beginning of the program. Improved knowledge, improved self-management skills, fewer lost days. We can measure that, and that's what we're finding are our outcomes. But our biggest, I think, sort of proof of the success of the program is some of the quotes, and we have some really great feedback from some of our participants. And, you know, I believe it's a great program. Learned a lot, helped me to make better decisions for myself, feel somewhat better because of it. So you can read through here, but there's some great comments. The other piece to that is one of the employer groups that we work with has seen over the years that we had such great success with this program. And they had actually contracted with several other kinds of groups to do health improvement and weren't finding they were getting as much success or even engagement as we were having. And so they approached us last fall and said, would you consider doing something like this with other conditions, like cardiovascular and like asthma? So we actually are piloting that right now and doing that program, similar model, but instead of diabetes educators, we're using cardiovascular nurses. And then for asthma, we're using respiratory therapists and nurses that are specialized in the field as well. So we'll see what the pilot shows. But here's my contact information. I work with Fonts Alan Laney, who's the program coordinator. And please feel free to contact us with any questions you may have. Thank you.